Welcome back. Another friend of the program, our buddy Jim Mutino, joins us. Jim, a national board-certified counselor, addiction counselor, licensed alcohol and drug counselor, licensed professional counselor, and owner of the group Private Practice Advanced Treatment Solutions of Farmington and Hartford. The website, go to advancedtreatmentsolutions.net. Jim, good to see you again. How are you?
Good. Good to be here.
Everything good? Everything good? It's interesting that we are talking about now benzodiazepine. You know, you wanted to talk about that this week. And first of all, when we talk about the possible misuse of a benzodiazepine, what are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about people abusing them. Basically, you get high off the benzo.
First of all, what is it? People may hear that, they go, "Well, I don't use that." And then you're going to name some you're going to name some commonly prescribed stuff, and they're going to go, "Oh." What are benzodiazepines?
We're talking about Valium. Okay. We're talking about Alprazolam, mm-hmm. Clonazepam, yeah. Lorazepam.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Valium, I think, is the one that's Xanax. People
call
Xanax that
yeah,
name.
Yeah.
So you get a lot of people that need these for legitimate reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they're going through some tough times or
medical reasons.
Medical reasons, correct.
Yeah,
but a lot of what's happening is people are abusing them.
Yeah.
We've seen it in the opiate population. For people that abuse opiates, mm-hmm. they mix benzos with it. It's kind of like a turbo booster for opiates.
Okay, so they will take the benzo, which may be, say, some Valium or something like that, some Xanax or whatever, and then they will mix that with the opioid painkiller?
Correct.
Wow.
So the combo together is a pretty potent.
So like when I go to Dunkin' Donuts and say, "Give me a turbo shot of my coffee," they're actually concocting stuff to get a bigger effect, a boost, a kick.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's some, you know, some clients will say that they've, you know, because we may test the client and they come up positive for it, and they'll say, "Well, I'm getting it like that. That's how I'm getting my opiates on the street. It's coming like that." So where is it coming from? It's in the mix. So a lot of this fentanyl, sometimes there's also been some suspect that they're mixing benzos as well with fentanyl. But we also know that benzos have been a big issue forever. I mean, we've seen it for a long time. And oftentimes, overdose deaths, about a third of the overdose deaths have benzos in them, in their system well.
And if you look at a drug, per se, like Valium, for example, or lorazepam, the diazepam, which is the generic, you go up and you look on websites, and some of these meds, I know Valium is, you know, the World Health Organization and some of these other groups, they have what they call lists of essential medications. And some of these that you talk about that are being abused are actually essential medications used by millions of people all over the world.
Absolutely. And it's a Schedule 4 drug. So Schedule 4 means that it's there's a medical reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a drug necessarily that's for abuse, but people have found a way to abuse it, mm-hmm. unfortunately. Typically in higher doses, you know, obviously, the more you take. But the withdrawal from it is pretty brutal.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard, but a lot of people that have come off of benzodiazepines have a worse withdrawal than opiates. I mean, they feel like it's a worse feeling, and there's seizures involved sometimes with people. Insomnia. It's very similar to other withdrawals from other substances.
Well, because the chemical system in your body is, okay, now I have this, now I need this as far as my daily internal chemistry to live and survive, and then suddenly it's not there.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, you point out in some material you gave us today that there was a recent story that benzodiazepine prescription abuse is rising among teens and young adults. New York City, for example, 13,000 high schools, 13,000 high school students have used the drug recreationally, according to the CDC. So just like, hey, let's smoke a cigarette, let's have a joint, somebody has to say, hey, look what I found. Let's try these. Where are they getting them from?
Medicine cabinet, a lot of times. A lot of times maybe a parent, a grandparent, and also, too, on the dark web. You know, there's some kids that are actually getting it on the dark web. There's a part of the internet where people can get into the dark web and order these drugs illicitly. The feeling is that they're coming here from other countries. So just like fentanyl is being made in other countries and then it's getting brought into America,
mm-hmm.
now we're starting to crack down on opiates. The fear is that benzos is now going to be the next little wave that we're going to
really?
See. You know, these chemists who work for these drug lords, you know, they can pretty much make whatever they want. So if they feel that it's going to be lucrative, I could see that being the next issue coming.
Now, at your treatment center, Advanced Treatment Solutions, and once again, they're on the web at advancedtreatmentsolutions.net, how do you treat somebody like this? When they come in and they say to you, let's establish it, that there is a problem, and they may come in and say, hey, I think I'm hooked here. I have a problem. How do you approach them?
Well, first, we need to make sure that medically they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
So we have to kind of assess, you know, how much are they taking? Are they having any withdrawals? And probably getting a physician or whoever is prescribing, get them involved to discuss what that person's plans are. So the number one thing with benzodiazepines is you don't want to just stop.
Oh, you can't.
You can't.
For mental, physical, cardiovascular, you can't just stop them.
You can't just stop.
No.
You need to detox off them.
Yeah.
They're, you know, you can have a seizure. So getting a medical professional involved with your counselor that you're working with is very crucial.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the first step, talking to the prescriber, discussing what the issue is, and tapering that person off. If the person is getting them on the street, that becomes another issue. So usually you want to get a medical detox. So local hospitals usually will take the person in. It's usually a little bit longer detox to come off of. So making sure that person's safe. And then once they're off, obviously an aftercare plan so that they can maintain that and how they're going to do that. And oftentimes people have medical conditions and other reasons why they probably maybe have had this issue. So it takes a full treatment plan with that person to figure out what the next step will be.
And a lot of this also, Jim, is heredity, is genetic. I mean, I know that, you know, for example, I told you before we went on, I've on and off used a benzodiazepine over the years, 15, 20, very small amounts for a medical condition I have. But again, this has also been a line in my family, a genetic line in my family where it's been used over the years. So you're also kind of battling Mother Nature here a little bit sometimes on these.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and you're right. I mean, that's where it's very tough because sometimes individuals have also an addiction history in the family, and now they have a medical issue, and like, what do you do? For some folks that maybe have an addictive personality, they may be more...
Just kidding.
They may take a little bit more than intended.
Yeah.
So that's where it becomes very important that we get the education out there.
Yeah.
We know that 70% of adolescents that take a substance before the age of 13 will develop an addiction.
Wow.
70%.
Wow.
So if a child starts experimenting before around that age, there's a higher likelihood that they will develop an addiction. Whereas if they wait until about 21,
interesting,
less issues. So I think it's important that we just educate. Also, just make sure that parents are aware of this, so that if they're taking something or if their child is taking something, that they're aware of what that medication will do. And really get asking the questions of the physician. You know, some physicians are very
And I know that. And in fact, we had a story on Fox this morning where there's an effort now. I think some physicians are starting, as far as the opiates are concerned, to push back a little, saying, "Okay, we may have overdone this before. We can't underdo it now." And I would imagine that's got to be with the opiates. Say, "Okay, here's 60 Valium. Well, why don't you try them on 15 or 10 and see what happens?" But again, obviously, you have to deal with a medical condition where they may actually need something like that.
Absolutely. So we have to, it's not an all or nothing thing. I mean, obviously people need opiates. These medications work too. They're very effective.
Oh, yeah.
If someone has, let's say they lose a family member and they're going through duress, you know, a benzodiazepine may just calm them down.
Be part of the treatment. Not everything, but it's part of the treatment, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And typically, you know, they're used in a shorter term for most conditions. You know, so for something like that, you know, you'd have somebody on it for a very small time, and then obviously seek some other care if needed, which counseling or grief counseling or something else, or just family support itself. So, but you need to have other approaches as well. I think some doctors are maybe they're too strict with not prescribing them, and then you have other doctors that are very lenient with it.
And then we have the theory of, and we've heard, and obviously people have heard this, maybe don't know what it really is, but you have encountered what they call, and what law enforcement calls, doctor shopping, where people will get a prescription from this doctor, and then they can pretty much just go to another doctor, right, and not have to divulge or lie about whether or not they're getting, you know, a script from that previous doctor, and then they'll go to a third doctor and have this constant, this machinery of getting, you know, three full prescriptions a month.
Yep, and Connecticut, we've done a great job with the prescription monitoring program. So now doctors, they can go on the site. They can actually see what their patient is taking from other doctors.
Yeah.
And so do the pharmacies. The pharmacies
makes perfect sense. I never understood, Jim, why that took so long to come into fruition. I never understood that. Privacy issues.
And stuff. Yeah. It is. It's a sensitive topic.
Yeah.
Some states have not adopted it. So there's certain states in the United States that haven't adopted it. They refused.
Mm-hmm.
But in Connecticut, we do that, which is a good thing. It also alleviates fraud, too.
Yeah.
You know, some people, unfortunately, they're doing that, too, to get substances to sell. Mm-hmm.
We're talking to Jim Mattino here, addiction expert and the owner of AdvancedTreatmentSolutions.net. When should somebody call you or a center like you? When is the tipping point where they say, you know, an alcoholic says, geez, maybe I've woken up on the floor too many times, I've hit bottom, it's time to get back up. What is the point, Jim, where, or maybe in your previous experience, when they've come in and say, okay, now I know I need help. When is that triggered? Is it different for everybody?
I think it's different for everybody. Everybody hits a different point. Yeah. I would say as soon as you recognize that there's an issue there. You know,
can't function, can't go to work, can't concentrate at work, just not, you know.
A little bit more irritable, you're snapping at people, your spouse is saying, hey, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Just come in. We take most health insurance plans, so you can come in. It's probably going to cost you much.
Yeah.
And just talk to somebody. I think that's the number one thing, is reaching out to somebody. And if it's not a counseling center, it's reaching out to your pastor. Reaching out to other families.
Talk to somebody. I would imagine, Jim, the people you've treated successfully must say to you at one point, you know what? I was embarrassed. I make a lot of money. I live in a nice house. I'm not a junkie. I bet you hear that.
All the time. And you know what they say? I should have done this sooner. Why didn't I do this
sooner? Why did I wait for 2 years? Look how much better I feel now, right?
Yeah. Within 6 months, it's amazing what happens. I've seen miracles in 6 months.
And it's not only the detox, and right? I'm sure you tell people you get on exercise programs, you get a hobby, you eat better. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff here that goes on with it, right?
It's a whole plan. You know, it's everything. And it's tailored to the person. So everybody goes through different stages. We've all been on those diets where it lasts a month.
And then there's that pizza in front of you, and you're just like, screw this.
Yeah.
And then at the end you go, one thing, Jim, and obviously I'm sure you agree with me, you know, if you have these meds in your house and you have young kids or teens, you know what? Treat it like you have a firearm in the house. Lock them up.
Absolutely.
Don't just put them in the bed. Lock them. Even if you have to get a little strong box with a key or something, or lock them in your car. Put them somewhere where nobody can get at them.
Absolutely. Even if your son or daughter has been the perfect child.
Doesn't matter.
Lock them up.
Yeah.
Just lock it up. Just
hide them somewhere. Put them in somewhere when they stick them in the rafters somewhere. Don't put them somewhere where they can find them.
How do you know that their friend is not going to take it?
Well, exactly. Yeah.
You know, kids hang out and they experiment.
Yeah.
So just be cautious. There's a lot of substances out there, unfortunately, and there's new stuff on the way. I'm sure there's somebody out there concocting a new med.
That's really the insidious thing, that there are some people domestically, internationally, whatever, who sit there, as you say, these cartels, they employ, you know, they may hire a chemist who's making, you know, $100,000 in the private sector and pay the guy $400,000 or $500,000, you know, to come up with this. And there are people, it's insidious if they're trying to mix this stuff together.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it's there's always a new thing coming, you know, unfortunately.
No. All right, the phone number for Jim's outfit, 866-887-6864, 866-887-6864, AdvancedTreatmentSolutions.net, Jim Mutino, National Board Certified Counselor. Jim, they just have to, it doesn't hurt to walk in and just say, hey, can I, maybe some people come in and they don't have a problem. Do you ever see that?
Absolutely. Like, sometimes it's just
you have to tell them, okay, you're okay, just relax, yep.
Yeah. I've had that too, where people come in and they feel, oh, you know, I have this issue or that when it comes to substances, and it's just more of just situational.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to pick up a drink when you're stressed out on a Friday night or after a long day. So,
Especially if you work in radio. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry, boss. Just kidding. No, but honestly, so you it's good to see that you know, you do have the capacity to sometimes tell people it's like, you know, you take a biopsy of that tumor and your doctor says, no, it's benign. It's not malignant. It's fine.
Absolutely. Yeah. And most of the people that we work with, it's for other, you know, for anxiety, stuff that's just going on, you know, in their life.
Yeah, cool. Jim, thank you. Once again, Jim Bottino, National Board Certified Counselor, Addiction Counselor, Licensed Alcohol and Drug Counselor. His outfit, AdvancedTreatmentSolutions.net. Folks, just go in. Ask. They have understanding people there. 866-887-6864. Jim, thanks. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too, Paul.